This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's talk to our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hi, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We're going to focus quite a bit on the UK today because we've had, over the last 24 hours, a couple of important bits of data which has come through. This morning, we got the latest UK CPI numbers, which showed a fall to 2.8%. Now, people out there might be a little bit confused as to why we're getting a fall in the rate of inflation, but that's largely because this has been driven by lower electricity and gas prices after the government's energy bill support package came into force. So it really is the calm before the storm, isn't it? As far as most are concerned, it looks like we're going to have much higher inflation to come.
Yes, Johnny, I think that's a good way of putting it, because there is actually several data points here that I think are worth discussing. So obviously, as you mentioned, the headline CPI out of the UK came in at 2.8%. versus the 3% flat expected, and also is lower than the previous number at 3.3%. Like you said, I think that there definitely is some government intervention there at play. Meanwhile, also the core CPI came in slightly lower than forecasts at 2.5% versus 2.6% expected, and prior numbers were at 3.1. So I think also what is interesting here, though, is when we take a look, and we have seen this with Japan and the US as well, it's actually the producer price index that seems to be showing some up the chain inflation metrics. So the UK's producer price index input month over month number came in at 2.4% versus just 1.2% expected. So this saw a meaningfully higher than anticipated number. Producer price index output saw 1.4% versus 1% expected. So some inflation on that side of things. And just to reiterate, inflation, I think even though we are focusing here on the UK right now, it is sort of a global phenomenon right now, given that the core reason or the core cited concern for why inflation seems to be rising, not just in the US, but also in Japan and in many places, we are seeing signs of inflation resurfacing in economic projections, as well as the actual realized data coming in, which has also come in recently higher than expected when looking at a global stage. That's kind of the interesting component here because, of course, the sticky aspect of this is that the Strait of Hormuz stuff remains a big question mark. That being said, yesterday's Canada CPI actually came in lower than expected. Canadian CPI was 0.4% month over month versus 0.7% forecasted there. So, and also worth mentioning is that the median and trimmed as well as common CPI, the three different metrics here reported by Canada, also on a year-over-year basis, all came in lower than expected. So I think we're getting a little bit of back and forth here. But what is worth mentioning is that, of course, the big ones, the US and Japan, saw very steep rises in inflation, specifically the producer price index and consumer price index for both of those places. So we'll certainly be interesting to see where inflation goes next. I think right now, oversimplified is to keep an eye on the price of oil, which I think when we look at it, it really has not changed very much, Johnny. I mean, we've seen this thing jump back and forth, but oil is not meaningfully lower. We are still sitting at 102 per barrel for US WTI. And that is definitely a source of this stickiness in inflation. And the longer the conflict goes on, the more likely it is likely to make its way into the supply chain, the producer price index, the consumer price index, not just for the US, not just for Japan, but for all places, especially, and I think this is really worth mentioning, especially for places that are more energy dependent on these parts of the world, aka Europe, UK, etc.
Absolutely. And while the war in the Middle East hasn't seemed to have affected inflation immediately here. It has affected the unemployment rate, because we had that yesterday, and that shows it's risen to 5%, which is actually a little higher than expected. So these figures show the first effects of the Middle East war on the jobs market. And there's, I suppose, a warning that demand for workers will likely continue to weaken the longer the conflict goes on. So the economic effects of the war between the USA and Iran are already felt in the jobs market. And of course, we have the specter of stagflation in this country, low growth, high inflation. The problem, of course, is that you might have unemployment going up. That isn't necessarily going to actually go with a fall in inflation. It might actually be the two combined.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we can add into the mix here, Johnny, is that when we look at global bond yields, specifically right now, I'm looking at the gilt, right, the UK's 10-year yield, it is meaningfully higher from where this conflict initially started. I'm looking at the 10-year yield, and what we can see here is that it went from around 4.3%, now up to 5% for the UK. And that, I think, is emblematic of what we're talking about, in the sense that here's the UK kind of looking out, looking broader due to this current scenario, and saying, well, if we continue to see higher oil prices, it is going to negatively impact many places in terms of their ability to their economies to grow, for inflation, to pay back their own debts. There are several factors here. I mean, you think about it, a big shock, a big increase in the cost of the same energy that the UK, the US, Japan needs in order to function. That higher cost, where does that come from? Well, it comes from borrowing money at the government level, and which higher borrowing from the government level means bigger national debts. Bigger national debts weigh heavily on what fiscal policies may lead to next, higher taxes, et cetera. These sorts of things can then negatively impact growth. And as you pointed out, the UK uniquely is especially sensitive to this, given that it is an economy that had already been, we had been talking about it prior to this, dealing with stubborn inflation and low growth. And this certainly does not help to throw into the mix the higher cost of energy into the equation, given that the UK's specific scenario is heavily a energy dependent nation.
And Nick, outside of the United States and the UK, what are global yields looking like at the moment?
I think it's one of the more interesting conversations right now is to look at the way global yields are, in a collective basis, mostly just rising steadily. And that brings into question something that we haven't talked about in a couple years. If you have kept an eye on the precious metals world or general central bank policy globally, we've talked for a couple of years now about how things had been generally moving in the right direction. Inflation generally coming down, central banks looking to ease monetary policy and to reduce interest rates. Whereas now we've seen a pretty sharp change of pace. With the situation in the Middle East, we are now looking at a circumstance in which energy prices being higher, as we've talked about today, is affecting all sorts of different places, right? You have many, many places. Southeast Asia comes to mind, Europe. These energy dependent places on the Middle East are now kind of bottlenecked in their supply. And so the price of everything goes up, of the existing supply. So that is, in a large way, impacting yields, not just in the US, not just in the UK, but also in Japan, which is a big story that we've talked about off and on for a long time on the podcast. Just a quick update on the Japanese 10-year yield. It is at its highest level in history at 2.787%. The 30-year yield at 4.114% at the time of recording this. So we're seeing yields blow out to the upside here, and bond markets globally are seeing pressure. The European markets as well, also seeing a significant lift. I'm looking at the EU 10Y for those taking a look at their charts here. We went from 2.64, let's call it, at the end of February when this conflict began, to now where we currently trade around 3.146. This is, in essence, a reaction to higher inflation. Bond investors are thinking, okay, well, if we're going to lend money, we need more yield to offset the anticipated inflation that is going to come out of all of this. And another thing worth mentioning is that even if the conflict comes to an end tomorrow, we do have structural challenges that we now face due to the disrupted supply lines. It's kind of like COVID in a sense. However, in other ways, the supply chain disruption here is actually bigger. The amount of oil that actually comes through the Strait of Hormuz is significantly, a significant portion of global supply. So even if things resolve today or tomorrow, there is some work that needs to be done to get things back to normal. And in the meantime, inflation rises.
I wonder, and we can talk about this another time in more length, Nick, whether this might be a situation similar to what happened with Russia and Ukraine, where countries have had to adapt to a new situation. We're looking, for instance, in Europe, where we've learned to become less reliant on Russian oil and Russian gas. And I'm thinking that countries will look at alternative ways of getting energy and oil away from the spectra of the Straits of Hormuz. It will be interesting to see what happens going forward.
I definitely think it will be, because we've had a couple of those sort of shocks. Also, the tariff stuff that we discussed at length last year, right? You have these sudden changes, and naturally, countries will look at these changing dynamics and think, okay, how can we hedge our bets for next time as to not be as exposed to these sudden changes that are out of their own control? So definitely worth exploring in further upcoming episodes.
Okay, we'll speak to you again on Friday. Have a good day.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.